Answers from attorneys on Ask the Expert are not substitutes for the advice of an attorney. Ask the Expert is a public forum, and questions and responses are not private or confidential or protected by the attorney-client privilege. Attorney is not your attorney, and any statement by attorney is not legal advice. You should not understand any statement in response to any question to propose specific action or address specific circumstances, but only to give you a sense of general principles of law that might affect the situation you describe. Application of these general principles to particular circumstances must be done by a lawyer who has spoken with you in confidence, learned all relevant information, and explored various options. Before acting on these general principles, you should hire a lawyer licensed to practice law in the jurisdiction to which your question pertains. Many legal matters are time-sensitive. You should act without delay in order to protect your rights and interests. By answering questions, attorneys do not form attorney-client relationships with callers.
Ask the Expert this morning is brought to you by the Aronson & Moss Law Firm.
Well, good morning and welcome to Ask the Expert. I'm Jim Doyne. With me this morning from the Aronson & Moss Law Firm, we have Rebecca Feiereisen. Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Jim.
It's so nice to have you here today.
Nice to be here.
And now, your area of expertise when it comes to being an attorney is what?
Is family law.
Which
all things related to marriage, divorce, and kids is the shortcut. So,
okay. Why did you pick that?
It kind of picked me. One of the first days at my first job in Waterloo, someone walked to my office and said, "Do you want to do a divorce?" And I said, "Okay."
All right.
And it was all downhill from there.
All right. So you stayed with it then. So,
yes.
And divorces are easy, so you might just go right?
Sure, yes. No, they're not. No. And they're like fingerprints. Everyone's different. So someone will call and say, "Well, my friend had this happen," and I have to break it to them that that doesn't mean it's going to be the same
happen.
For them.
Absolutely. We're going to talk a little bit about that, but if the folks out there listening have a question for you this morning concerning family law or divorce, custody of children, what have you, they can certainly give you a call at 365-0600, 1-800-332-5401, *600 on your U.S. cellular phone. Well, divorce, is that something that would you say has been more prevalent over the years, or do you think it's about the same as it, say, was 20, 30 years ago?
Well, and I wouldn't know 20, 30 years ago. It feels like that's more frequent. I think there's less of a stigma attached.
Mm-hmm.
So people know that they can still call themselves a family even if they've been through a divorce. So I think people are more likely to get out of unhappy marriages. I know over the past 7 years or so that I've been practicing law that it seems to be tied pretty significantly to the economy. So when when times are good, people tend not to get divorces as much. And when the economy goes, you know, down,
mm-hmm.
people get more divorces, I think, because of stress. And it's the same through the year, too. When tax return time comes,
mm-hmm.
I'm way busier because people can afford to get the divorce, where holidays they don't.
Do you find the one party is spending more money than the other party, and sometimes they don't know that?
Yeah. I mean, that happens not as often as just everybody knows that we're financially in a bad place.
I see. How does a divorce take them out of that bad place? Because they take their debts with them, don't they?
Yeah, it doesn't really. But, I mean, I tell people it's kind of like cutting off a dead leg. Like if somebody's causing your financial ruin, it's not going to cure it, but it's going to get rid of part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll keep it from getting worse, but it really won't make it better.
Well, you mentioned that there isn't the stigma that was attached years ago to a divorce. In other words, do you think people bail out quicker now?
Well, I don't know. I would say, there are certainly people that come in and say, "No, I'm just done. I'm done." But most people do take it very seriously. They've really thought about it. Some people go several years trying to fix it and just can't.
Mm-hmm.
Some people try to stay together for the kids and decide it's not, you know, good for them to be in that environment either.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't say people are flippant. I wouldn't say that they just bail when it gets rough. Mm-hmm. Most people. Of course, there are a few that just file for divorce.
Now, don't they have to take some classes? You know, if they come to see you and say, "We want to get a divorce," don't you have to send them for some classes first?
First of all, I'm going to tell you, Linn County is a little unique in some of this,
mm-hmm.
but not in everything. So there's two classes someone going through divorce has to take if they have children. The one is the children in the middle class. That's a statewide requirement for everyone who's going through any custody battle, whether it be divorce or a modification of a divorce that already happened or a paternity action where nobody ever got married. They have to go through this class called Children in the Middle, where they will learn how to keep their kid as shielded from the divorce as possible,
mm-hmm.
make sure they know it's not their fault, et cetera. Now, the Linn County component that's a little different, it's actually the entire part of the state, and
mm-hmm.
I think other parts of the state are going toward this, is you take a class about mediation. Mediation is trying to get the two people to sit down and get on the same page during their breakup. The idea being if the parties can come to the same agreement, we can save time, money, heartache, all sorts of trouble. So it'll teach them what to expect during mediation. So that's the other class. Also in Linn County, children between the ages of 6 and 16 mm-hmm. that are involved in a divorce, they go to a class themselves where they'll learn age specifically mm-hmm. that the divorce isn't their fault and both parents still love them and they don't have to take sides and that sort of thing.
So actually there's three classes then in a way.
Yeah. The one for the kids is relatively new, so...
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that. So, but at the same time, is it easier then, or do you find most divorces are difficult when it comes right down to it? What causes the difficulty?
The difficulty comes in where we disagree, right? If we're fighting over kids, those are the worst ones because that's really where the mud gets thrown, where people say bad things about their ex on the stand that can't be unsaid. Your ex heard you say that, and mm-hmm. it's going to come back forever. Those are the ones that get very ugly. Also, ones with domestic violence. For obvious reasons, that gets ugly because we have to be more careful.
Absolutely.
If they have real estate, sometimes that could be messy just because it's hard to unwind that. But the easiest ones are the ones where people are just arguing about items in the home or personal property because that's just, to quote one of the judges in the district, economic horse trading. Like, we just have to figure out who's getting which one.
I see. Now, let's go back to the children a little bit and the custody. What seems to be the problems? You get them this weekend, I get them next weekend, or vice versa, or during the week. So what's difficult about that?
To be honest with you, what usually makes it difficult is one parent figures out the more they have the kids, the less child support they have to pay.
Oh,
so I think that's
child support comes into this,
yes.
right?
Yes. I think that happens a lot. And I'm not saying all or even half, because I think a lot of people do. They are used to seeing their kids every day, and mm-hmm. it's hard not to. And most people do recognize both parents have a right, and we just have to figure out who's getting them when. One parent will think they've done all the work all these years, and they're going to keep the kids. The other parent won't see it that way. Or the other parent will say, I have to pay what in child support? And if I get two more overnights a week, I don't have to pay that. Okay, I'll take two nights a week, please. And that's really where it comes into.
Boy, this gets down to the nitty-gritty.
Oh, though. Boy.
And
tip of the iceberg, Jim.
So if there's children, you've got problems. Is that usually?
Usually. I mean, you know, a lot of people do come in that they just want to get it over with and figure out what's best for the kids. But, yeah, that's what can make it ugly.
Now, you mentioned marriage with children. Not married with children.
Yes.
Explain all of that to us.
Well, I mean, obviously you don't have to be married to have a kid.
That's
so
right.
That's a whole separate set of problems. It's kind of divorce light. It's still the same kind of custody thing, same kind of classes in general. The difference is we're not dividing property. We're mm-hmm. not going to divide real estate because in Iowa, those two things are hooked together. If you didn't get married, you don't have a right to the house unless you take them to court separately, but that's a whole different mess. The other thing that comes into people that don't get married is sometimes we have to question who the dad is. Hmm. So if we have to do, you know, paternity testing, DNA testing to make sure that the guy that we're trying to get on the hook is actually biologically on the hook, that can be there too.
So now how often does that happen, would you think?
No, I'd say 1 in 20 times. Usually if somebody says, I'm not the dad, I want a DNA test, really they're just mad. They don't actually think they're not the dad.
Well, you mentioned to me if somebody brought something into the marriage, like their student loans and what have you, they're going to take them with them. Is that correct?
Yeah. The law is pretty first of all, I'll tell you, we're an equity court for divorce, which basically just means everything's soft around the edges. We're going to do what's fair, not necessarily what the law says in black and white, because we know that it's individual. The general rule is if you bring an asset or a debt into the marriage, that's yours to take back out. Mm-hmm. Of course, there are, you know, wiggle in the joints, being if it increased or decreased in value during the marriage, we may have to tinker with it. If we kind of assume that as part of the marriage and it gets kind of subsumed into it. But in general, you know, if I went to school before we got married and I had student loans and we got divorced, they're mine to take with me back out the other side.
Interesting how that goes. And, of course, there's probably some that last so many years you can't figure that out
exactly.
either.
Exactly. Yeah, especially with a house, right? So mm-hmm. if husband bought the house 1 year before they got married and they moved in immediately and 30 years later they're getting divorced, those records may not even exist anymore, let alone it being such a small amount in consideration of the big picture that we're just not going to worry too much about it.
In your working with divorces, is there any kind of an average of how long people stay married today? Because, you know, you talk about the people that are married 50, 60 years, and you go, boy, that's amazing, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
But is it the first 5 years are the worst? Or?
Well, I would say most divorces happen between years 5 and 7. 5, 7, 10, around there. Yeah, I think if people are going to kind of jump ship, that's going to be where. There seems to be another bubble when the kids start aging out, when their kind of kids are gone and now we can actually have our midlife crisis and have an empty nest. That might be another time that they leave. But there are several of people who are retired and they're just for whatever reason, done being married.
Is there a way then if people come in with and they can just sit down, work it out that day, and that's it? I mean, do you try to work that way? Kids are gone. You got the empty nest.
Yeah.
They can get it over with rather quickly?
Rather quickly.
How long does it usually take on a divorce?
Well, there's a 90-day waiting period between the time it gets filed and we can be finalized. So in theory, it always takes 90 days. Now, we can ask the court to waive that 90, and sometimes they will. So it could be shorter. It's not by law shorter. And as long as you might want to hold on to the desk when I say this, but I've had them take 2 or 3 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Right now, we're scheduling trials about a year out, and you don't get to schedule the trial until a couple months into your case. So really, you're talking just to get to court 14 months if everything goes smoothly.
Very good. Interesting. We have Rebecca Feiereisen here. She's an attorney with Aronson & Moss Law Firm. We're going to take a break. Before we do that, tell me quickly about Aronson & Moss, phone numbers, how they reach you if they have any questions.
Aronson & Moss is located at 425 2nd Street Southeast, Suite 900 in Cedar Rapids. That's downtown in what used to be called the APAC building right next to the bus stop. You can reach us at 319-363-8199 by phone. And all our email addresses are at our website, which is aronsonlaw.com.
Very good. Hey, Rebecca, we'll come back and talk more with you here in just a moment. And you're listening to Ask the Expert on 600 WMT. Welcome back now to Ask the Expert. I'm Jim Doyne, along with Rebecca Feiereisen. She is an attorney with Aronson & Moss Attorneys here in Cedar Rapids. Now, you should maybe mention who your co-partners are there.
All right. So we have Jim Aronson, our flagship partner, who does primarily business law, car dealerships. Ryan Moss works with him, also doing some real estate. We have Jim Radig, who does trust estates, probate, estate planning, also bankruptcy. And we have Christopher Nathan, our criminal law attorney, and then me.
And so all of you kind of, you have different areas of expertise that you work in all the time, is that right?
We do. The first three mentioned actually all do business, and they do work closely together on that stuff. But Christopher Nathan and I, the newest members, are more what we call the retail area, so we're a little more independent from the business side of it.
I bet you met a lot of interesting people along the way.
Oh, man. Yes, in all senses of the word. So.
I'll bet. Now, we're talking about divorce, which is your... ever get to you?
It has to, doesn't it? Well, I try to leave it at work, right? So it doesn't tend to bother me on weekends or at night. But, you know, it's a stressful situation for everyone involved.
Mm-hmm.
People call me upset. Of course, I'm going to get upset, too. And if I can't fix the situation, they're not happy.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times I have to tell them, you just have to be patient. So, yeah, it gets stressful.
We're talking about custody and how folks have to work out the custody when they have children together. And you've seen a lot of very interesting ideas along these lines, too, and how people try to work their custody arrangements out, right?
Absolutely. You know, it used to be years ago that traditional visitation, mom would have custody of the kids, dad would have every other weekend and maybe an evening during the week.
Mm-hmm.
That's still what I would consider kind of the minimum visitation dad gets if there's not drug issues, violence issues. You know, there can be much less if there's a problem. But it can go up from there. And really, it's come to the point where whatever works, works. You know, it can go clear up to splitting the time straight down the middle. Some parents go a full week and then trade with the other parent.
Mm-hmm.
Some will do, you know, mom and dad. Mom always gets Monday, Tuesday. Dad always gets Wednesday, Thursday. And we alternate the weekends. So there's, one for every situation, as long as we can get to a place where everybody's at least not unhappy.
What about child support then?
Yeah.
Who pays it? Now, since, you know, we have a lot more women working and making a lot of money these days, and then you have it can go either way, I would assume.
Absolutely can. It really comes down to a formula that the legislature, with the help of some smart lawyers that aren't me, came up with, that it basically takes into consideration both parties' incomes. Who has the kid, how often, and math that I don't understand. So if dad makes a lot more money and has the kids less, he's going to pay a lot of support. Mom has the kids more and she makes a lot of money, she'll pay. It really doesn't. It's gender neutral. And, you know, even if you have joint care 50-50, where each party has the child 50% of the time, probably someone's still going to pay child support. It'll be low, but it still comes down to that formula. And if dad out-earns mom, even by a little, even if they have the same amount of time, dad's going to pay a little bit of support.
So it's strictly a formula. You have to sit down, you apply the formula, and you've got nowhere else to go.
Pretty much, yeah. Like, they don't want us to negotiate it, so we don't.
Okay. Well, that probably takes a little of the burden off you, I would think.
Well, it makes me less of the bad guy, yeah. But, you know, like we talked about before, having the kid overnight, there are ways to manipulate, to use those formulas in someone's favor. So that's what we end up fighting about.
I see. Now, there are modifications. Now, let's go into the modification idea. What modification from custody, even child support, how does that all work out as you go down the road?
So modification kind of refers to changing any previous order. It could be non-marital custody, the paternity actions, could be a divorce. And the things we can change are the things dealing with kids. So custody, visitation, child support. And that can be clear down to, you know, who's driving to pick up the kid.
Oh, my goodness.
Visits. Yeah. We can agree to it. It can be contested. It can take forever. It can take one day. Those don't have the timelines like divorces. They can be very quick and painless.
Well, who has to approve that once you get it all worked out? Yeah. Where do you take it from there?
Oh, you take it to a judge. They'll sign off on it. But generally speaking, if everyone's in agreement, the judges, as long as you're within the law, are pretty happy that you guys got along and could work it out.
So they were, and that also you can modify the child support as well along
yes.
the same line. So everybody has to be kind of in agreement on the same page for something like that.
Well, you can do an ugly one, a contested one where you end up in basically trial again. But, you know, they are pretty simple. And Child Support Recovery Unit, which is the arm of the Iowa government that does child support collection, will also review it every, I think it's 2 years, might be three. So that's another way to get child support reviewed is mm-hmm. to have the state do it, which is inexpensive, quicker, but they don't advocate for anyone.
Do they still take it out automatically at one person's?
Yeah. You have to request that, but a lot of people do and do mm-hmm. it. And some people want to pay write out the check each month, and we can do that too.
Interesting. So, and then how about the no contact orders? You mentioned abuse at
yes.
one time. You mentioned, you know, whatever. So, I mean, can you explain that a little further?
Sure. So the one thing that we use most often is a Chapter 236 no contact order. We consider that the do-it-yourself no contact order, where you can, anyone can get the paperwork from the clerk and fill it out. And it basically, at that point, they'll set a hearing and figure out if you guys need some space between you. Kids do get caught up in it. We can do visitation until we can get back into court. We can do possession of the house and the car. And it really just, if there's a situation where someone needs protecting, it gives them that option.
Alcohol ever play a part in this?
Oh, yes, of course it does.
Yes, yes. Anyway, I want to thank you, Rebecca Feiereisen, for coming in, Aronson & Moss Law Firm. Tell everybody again where you're located, your phone numbers, and how they get a hold of you.
Sure. We're at 425 2nd Street Southeast in Cedar Rapids. That's in the old APAC building next to the bus stop. You can reach us at 319-363-8199, and our website is aronsonlaw.com.
Very good. Thank you, Rebecca. Come back and see us. I know you will here in a few weeks.
Yeah.
You bet. Thank you.
Thank you.